Let's read together Acts chapter 9, verses 29 through 43. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have two further miracles in the ministry of the Apostle Peter: the healing of Aeneas, who was paralyzed, and the raising of Dorcas, who had died. Acts chapter 9, beginning now at verse 29. And Saul spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good deeds and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Let's begin our study of this portion of Acts chapter 9 with some background notes. In the first part of this chapter, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, the great champion of Christianity. How ironic that Saul, who had gone to Damascus to persecute the church, ends up as Paul the Apostle, to whom God revealed the great truth of the church as the body of Christ. Such are the sovereign ways and power of God. Now from verse 20, we see that Paul began to preach the gospel immediately, even before he went to the school of God in Arabia. Verse 20, once again, "Immediately Saul preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." You know, this is a good lesson for all new believers. Start sharing your faith immediately. Don't wait until you're trained. Training goes on for life. In verses 29 and 30, we see that Saul continued to preach under the threat of death. Verses 29 and 30 once again. "And Saul spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus." Back home in Tarsus, Saul undoubtedly boldly preached the gospel. Now, with the conversion of Saul, who will become the great apostle to the Gentiles, the book of Acts will focus on Paul's ministry more and more in the chapters ahead. But here at the end of chapter 9, and in chapter 10, we still have the focus on the ministry of Peter. Here at the end of chapter 9, we have two miracles in the ministry of Peter. And then in chapter 10, we have the conversion of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, through the preaching of Peter. Remember, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. And just as he opened the door of the church for the Jews on the day of Pentecost, so he will be used to open the door of the church for the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now, just two more background notes before we move to our doctrinal points. Back in verse 13 of this chapter, we have the first mention in the New Testament of Christians as saints. Verse 13, "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.'" So the first mention in the New Testament of Christians as saints. And in verse 31 of the chapter, we have the first reference to churches outside the church at Jerusalem. Verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. The main threat and promoter of the persecution, namely Saul, was now converted, and he becomes Paul the great apostle. So the churches do have a rest or respite from the persecutions, the heavy persecutions that have been going on under the direction of Saul. So the gospel is spreading and bearing fruit according to God's plan, as laid out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this second half of Acts chapter 9. Doctrinal point number one, the healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas illustrate the salvation and resurrection of the believer. The healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas illustrate the salvation and resurrection of the believer. The town of Lydda in verse 32 is the modern area of Lod, which is today the location of Israel's international airport. Here a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed for 8 years, was healed, and immediately he was enabled to walk. Then Peter traveled a short way on the plain of Sharon to Joppa, which is the modern Jaffa and is part of Tel Aviv today on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Here a godly woman named Tabitha or Dorcas had died. She was greatly mourned because she had done many wonderful deeds of kindness and charity. But Peter, with the power of God, raised her from the dead. Now notice how in both of these miracles, Peter followed the same pattern that our Lord used when on the one hand he healed the paralytic by the pool of Bethesda. Remember he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And then when our Lord raised Jairus' daughter to life, just as the Lord put the mourners out of the room, so Peter put the mourners out and prayed and then gave Dorcas' hand and presented her alive to the people. As a result of these two miracles, we read that many people turned to the Lord. Now, the miracles of the Bible are not like the magic of fairy tales. The miracles of the Bible illustrate spiritual truth. And I think we can see how these two miracles together illustrate the Christian life. In one, we have the salvation of the sinner. In the other, we have the resurrection of the saint. And in between, we have what should characterize every Christian, good works. Until we're saved from the disease of sin, we are paralyzed and cannot walk the life that God intends for us. We can't help ourselves and we can't help others. When we become Christians, we are enabled to walk. And now good works of kindness and love should characterize us. So much so that people should turn to the Lord as a result. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And people should miss us when we die, as Dorcas was missed. Missed because we've been involved in helping others and not living life just for ourselves. But the best news is that we will be raised from the dead when the Lord returns, illustrated in the raising of Dorcas. I'm reading about the resurrection of believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 54. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 through 54. The healing of Aeneas and the raising of Dorcas illustrate the salvation and resurrection of the believer. Doctrinal point number two, the healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas illustrate the restoration and rebirth of Israel. The healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas illustrate the restoration and rebirth of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel had that well-known vision of the dry bones in which the bones came together, first as dead skeletons, and then they became bodies, and finally they became living souls. Ezekiel was told that these bones represented the nation of Israel, not the church, by the way, but the nation of Israel, which was scattered and dead, but would be brought back to life. God will bring the Jews back to the land and make them a nation once again. But more than that, He will restore them and revive them and give them a new heart and spiritual life. There will be a rebirth of Israel and spiritual restoration when they return to the Lord. Now, this is not only predicted in Ezekiel 37 and other prophetic passages, but it is illustrated here in the miracles of the healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas. Israel right now is still dead and paralyzed, spiritually speaking, but she will be reborn and restored to the Lord in the future, and many will turn to the Lord as a result. Notice that Aeneas was bedridden for 8 years and then is healed. The number 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginning. Israel's restoration will be a new beginning for them under the new covenant. Bible-believing evangelical Christians long for the restoration of Israel. We are like the friends of Dorcas, who appreciate all the good things that have come to the world through Israel, not the least of which is the Messiah and Christianity. You all see the doctrinal point here? The healing of Aeneas and raising of Dorcas illustrate the restoration and rebirth of Israel. What about practical application from the second half of Acts chapter 9? Be remembered as a Dorcas and not as a Jehoram. Be remembered as a Dorcas and not as a Jehoram. Jehoram, you say? Do you remember what the Bible has to say about him? Jehoram was one of the bad kings of Judah. And 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 20 says that he died with no one's regret. How would you like that comment to be made when you die? How much better to be like Dorcas and be remembered for all the wonderful things you've done for others in serving the Lord. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble." You too can be a Dorcas. She was not an upfront person in the limelight, but rather a doer of good deeds behind the scenes. But God knew Dorcas and recorded her name and good works in Holy Scripture. And she was greatly missed when she died because she had touched the lives of so many. Be remembered as a Dorcas and not as a Jehoram.